What's going on here? All that babbling. And here we are 50 days after Easter. We have witnessed and mourned the crucifixion and death of our Lord. We have rejoiced at His resurrection. The reality all of the universe transformed forever. We have witnessed what the life of the church should be under the risen and ascended Lord. But here we are, the Feast of Pentecost, and the gospel reading takes us back to Holy Week, the so-called high priestly prayer that Jesus offered for the disciples before His arrest, His betrayal, His arrest, and His crucifixion. It's sort of like Back to the Future. Well, beloved, what it's about, what is going on here, is the fulfillment of a promise made by Jesus Himself on that eve of His betrayal, a promise to send an advocate called elsewhere in the gospel a comforter, someone to unite us, unlike the confusion of the voices at the Tower of Babel, that Old Testament story, but where everyone is unified by hearing the gospel in his or her own tongue. The power of God released throughout the earth. Divine power. Jesus' presence had been the power of God in a limited time and space. If I'm correct, Jesus never journeyed more than 50 miles away from the place of His birth. But now God's power, not limited by time, not limited by space, but available to all of the universe. Which explains why our readings seem to be sort of like Back to the Future, where you have the Acts of the Apostle, a reading that happens after the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord, but the gospel reading talks about the promise, which the reading from Acts tells us is the fulfillment of that promise. And it's done with spectacular signs of sounds of fire and language. It was the sound of a violent wind. And whenever, beloved, you see a reference to the sound of that kind of wind anywhere in Holy Scripture, it means that God is present and something very significant is about to happen. And fire, divided tongues as of fire, alighting on the foreheads of the apostles. You see the mitre there, the funny-looking pointed hat that the bishop wears? It is supposed to reflect flames of fire lighting on the apostles' foreheads. It's supposed to look like the shape, generally, of a flame to tell us that we, too, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and not just the bishop, but the bishop being the outward and visible sign of the carrier of the Holy Spirit, which all of us are. And language, 17, if I count correctly. Math was never my best subject. But 17 nationalities on hearing the gospel in their own native language, speaking about God's deeds of power. And what would that mean to those witnessing this phenomenal, almost incomprehensible experience? God's deeds of power would have to be about the incarnation, about Jesus the Christ having been sent, you know, John 3:16, so that we all may be saved. Had to be the powerful deeds of the resurrection itself, unparalleled in human experience, and proclaiming that there is no death for the faithful. And so this event that we celebrate today really unites all of the miracles of Christmas and Easter and fulfills for us a picture of God that we can understand. That this is a picture of God who loves us enough to create us, but realizing that we cannot save ourselves, takes an action, not leaving us alone to do that by ourselves, but to save us through the person of Jesus Christ, and realizing, too, that even with the gift of the Holy Spirit on the feast, the original feast of Pentecost, again, not leaving us alone, but also sharing God's divine power to be gradually led into all truth. And in another reading, Jesus actually says there are things that you cannot handle now, but that the Holy Spirit will reveal unto you. That makes us wonder, whenever we struggle over issues which we're having difficulty accepting and dealing with, that we are not left alone. That God has kept this promise of the Holy Spirit and will eventually guide us into all truth, regardless of whatever hot button issues we may be praying about and seeking guidance about and searching for the truth about. And so you can see that Pentecost, beloved, is not just about those apostles and those magnificent, incomprehensible events of the original Pentecost, but Pentecost is about us, too. That the gospel, we pray that the gospel may reach to the ends of the earth. And we know from the Acts of the Apostles and from the other writings that the apostles spent the remainder of their lives doing just that. In the words of our baptismal covenant, proclaiming by word and deed the good news of Christ. You and I have been baptized into Christ's body, which we commonly refer to as the church. And beloved, if we are baptized into Christ's body, whoever is baptized into Christ's body is therefore baptized into Christ's mission. And you know that mission as well as we know John 3:16, because we know it as the Great Commission, which I always revert back to my youth in quoting it with the King James Version rather than the Revised. So pardon me, I may even stumble with this. But go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have proclaimed to you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And lo, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us, even to the end of the age, even as he, next to the throne of God the Father, is constantly interceding for us. The Holy Spirit seeking to give us a full and accurate picture of God, a God who creates, a God who saves, and a God who guides and strengthens. You and I know enough about the divisions of our world today. It would take significant time to list them, but I don't need to. You know what they are. But we have this picture of God, which reminds me, just off the bat, of an experience that I read about of a Sunday school teacher who, as part of the exercise of the class, asked the students to draw a picture of their favorite Bible study. And as this teacher moved from student to student, she could pretty well figure out. I mean, here was a stick figure with a slingshot, and there were five round objects on the ground, and she knew right away that this was David about to slay Goliath. She moved to another picture that was drawn in blue of a lady, and she was pretty sure this had to be a depiction of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she went to another student, and couldn't quite figure it out, totally puzzled. But eventually she moves on to other students, and she keeps coming back to this one. And finally, frustrated, she says, "Son, I can't tell what you're drawing." I'm drawing a picture of God. You can't draw a picture of God. Nobody knows what God looks like. Well, they will when I'm done. We have a picture of God, a picture that shows us in each other the love of God of creation, a picture of the self-giving of God in the crucifixion of Christ, the image of God of the Holy Spirit descending to guide, protect, and to lead us. One of the questions that I would like for us to leave with today is, what picture of God are we drawing with our lives? What understanding of God will people have who see us striving to be faithful as the body of Christ? You and I, all of us, are heirs to the apostles as the body of the church, and we are heirs in the mission of the church. Today, we all have the experience of renewing our baptismal vows in anticipation of the sacrament of Holy Confirmation and receiving other members of God's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church into our own Anglican communion. That covenant, beloved, is a formula for the mission of Christ and for our daily efforts to strive to be part of that mission so that the gospel may reach the ends of the earth. I'm not going to go through each of the vows of the baptismal covenant because I did that the last time I was here, and I'm sure you have them written in your minds and hearts. But as we go through them today, I assure you that you can recognize what gifts, what resources, what interests that you have. Yes, what's fun for you? How that can live into the work of the body of Christ in spreading the gospel. Boundaries are fluid these days. While we need the need for, while we have the need for foreign missionaries, we are missionaries to our own families, in our own neighborhoods, in our schools, in our communities. So we need to live faithfully into that baptismal covenant and seeking to be faithful to the prayer that we have made to God, that the gospel may be preached so that it will reach the ends of the earth through our own living into that baptismal covenant, that blueprint, that formula for Christian living. I recommend, actually we have a copy of the baptismal covenant, Reverend Dean, in today's liturgy booklets. I would say to take a copy of that and place it in a prominent place in your own home. I have mine on the door to the refrigerator because I know that I will see it regularly as a reminder of the things that we are called to do and the various ways that we're called to grow spiritually and to manifest the good news of God in Christ. Let us, on this Feast of the Pentecost, as we begin the celebration of the gift of the Holy Gift, a ghost, and what it means during this whole season of Pentecost, what it means to be the church, the people of God, living under the guidance and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray that by the grace of that Holy Spirit, we may grow in faithfulness and ability to live more and more into the baptismal covenant in thanksgiving to that God who sent His Holy Spirit to give us power for life and for mission so that the gospel may reach the ends of the earth for us and through us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.